Hi, this is Aislinn Antrim from Pharmacy Times, and you're listening to Pharmacy Focus Student Edition, a podcast series dedicated to pharmacy students. This month, I spoke with Brandon Dyson, co-founder of TLDR Pharmacy, to hear about this unique resource for pharmacy students and how you can best utilize it in your own education. We also discussed the important skill of communication and how students can work on this and other essential non-clinical skills.
So I guess to get started, can you introduce yourself and what TLDR Pharmacy is?
Absolutely. Hi, I'm Brandon Dyson. I'm an oncology pharmacist, and I'm the co-founder of TLDR Pharmacy. Basically, what TLDR Pharmacy is, it's the thing that I wish existed when I was in pharmacy school and residency. So it's kind of what we try to do is connect the dots and like fill in the gaps of what you learn like in a textbook and what you actually need to survive real life clinical practice. That's about the best probably single sentence summary I could give of it.
Yeah, that's perfect. What inspired you to start this? You said this is something you wished you had had. Kind of what does this do for students?
Yeah, so it was inspired because it was just a gap. It was something that, like I said, I wished I needed when I was going through school. And so imagine, you know, you're taught a lot of things, like the way you're taught in pharmacy school ultimately is to pass a standardized test at the end. It's to pass the NAPLEX, which I'm not saying that that's the wrong approach or anything, but you're taught, you know, in pharmacy school ultimately to pass a multiple choice test. And then the kinds of questions that I was getting in practice, like, you know, as I started, I graduated, I passed, I'm now working as a pharmacist. And the sort of questions that were getting lobbed my way by nurses or doctors or patients, you know, were nothing that was like covered. And obviously they don't come at you in like a multiple choice format either, right? So it's not like a patient will come up to you, hey, here's this rash. Do you think this is A? In Pawtucket, you know, like no one comes up to you like that. Everything is kind of open. And so what I wanted to do with TLDR Pharmacy, what we wanted to do is kind of bridge that gap. Like you learn this and the textbook stuff is important, right? So here's what you learn in school. Here's what you need in practice. Let's bridge those two. And so we kind of like, I almost think of it as like a pharmacy 201, like level content, where we're helping to get you from that student to practitioner kind of level. And then if you are, even if you are a practitioner, if you're jumping into a new area, you know, oh, you just got asked to round on the critical care service at the hospital you work for or something, like we've got some primers there that should help you get up to speed, you know, if it's a new area or if you just want to brush up as a refresher.
Wonderful. Where can students find your content? You know, how do you recommend they utilize it best? Kind of anything in that realm?
Yeah, so www.tldrpharmacy.com is where you'll find us. Highly recommended. I mean, it's a blog, basically, right? So you have our most recent posts, you know, reverse chronological order. You can search. There's a little magnifying glass up at the top right of the site. So you can search, you know, diabetes or oncology or HIV or biostats or, you know, any topic that you're looking for. I highly encourage signing up for our email list, which there'll be multiple places for you to do it on the website. Because what happens is we try to, one, we communicate special things to our email list. They get kind of exclusive content that others don't. But we also give periodic like deals and discounts. If we ever create, like we're constantly creating new cheat sheets and new products and things like that. And we kind of pre-launch those to our email list before, you know, at a discount before we launch them to the real world. So you can get us at the website, tldrpharmacy.com. But we're also on Instagram, just at TLDR Pharmacy, Twitter at TLDR Pharmacy, Facebook, and LinkedIn as well. You can find us all four of those.
Awesome. One of the areas that might not be directly taught in a classroom, but is really important, is communication. So that whether with other healthcare providers, with preceptors, patients, pharmacists are dealing with a whole host of different people. Can you discuss why this is an important area for students to consciously and intentionally work on?
you know, it's funny. I was actually kind of like reading some stuff preparing for this conversation, and I came across this neat little piece of information about Gerald Ford, our former president. And so, you know, I think he graduated in 1935 from Michigan or wherever it was. He went to college, and, you know, then some stuff happened and he was president, and he was writing his memoirs after all of this. And one of the bigger regrets he had had, like looking back, was that it wasn't offered and there wasn't much opportunity. And so he didn't develop his ability to write effectively and to speak effectively in front of people. So communication, basically. And I think the exact quote he had said was, well, maybe I can't say the exact quote from memory, but what he's surmising is, you know, that the ability to communicate is the most important thing that you can kind of develop as a person, like no matter what your vocation. So I think it's tremendously important. And funny enough, you know, dating back to 1935, I think nearly 100 years later, we're still not really focusing on it that well in education. And so what, it's critically important, I think, because, you know, you can be the best pharmacist in the world. You might be the foremost expert on whatever it is, oncology or critical care. Like, you might be amazing. But if you can't convince a patient, you know, why they need to take a certain medication to cure them of whatever it is, or if you have this life-saving intervention that you can't effectively communicate to a doctor, how good are you as a pharmacist? How good are you at doing your job? You're just a dictionary, kind of, if you're unable to communicate your ideas, you know, persuasively and effectively. So I think it's tremendously important and underemphasized and should be developed if at all possible.
Yeah, absolutely. In addition to communicating with patients, pharmacists are also communicating with other healthcare providers, physicians, whoever else they're working with. And I think, at least in my experience, that's even less discussed than communication with patients. So in what situations do pharmacists need to effectively communicate with other healthcare experts?
I mean, literally every day, right? You know, if you have, we're asked questions, depending on your practice, right? You know, but you may have a question on a prescription that you just got from a physician. You may note some horrible drug interaction that's contraindicated, right? So we have to interact with everybody, social workers, nurses, physicians, medical assistants, you know, you name it, anybody, you know, nurse practitioners, APPs, anyone, all the time. And you're the words that you use matter, right? Like, you have to tailor your communication accordingly to fit that level. You know, if you want to make an intervention to a physician, you have to think, what does this physician need to know from me, right? It's not, hey, there's a drug interaction. He's going to say, cool, what do I do about it? You know, you have to tailor it to the appropriate level. And so, like, you know, if there's a drug interaction between two medications and you're speaking to a physician, does he need to do anything? Should we not use this drug? Can we decrease the dose? Do we just need to monitor? What information needs to get actually conveyed? And so it's something that happens daily. And, you know, we just always have to be kind of constantly practicing and constantly getting better at it with other healthcare providers.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to your monthly Mental Health Minute. I'm Dr. Jessica Louie, host of the Burnout Doctor podcast. Today, we are answering, what are the truths versus myths of burnout? Three different comparisons today. Now, the biggest myth I want to bust is burnout is a problem to be solved. Now, you might be thinking, wait, what? In healthcare, we usually like diagnoses and putting together treatment plans and cures, right? Well, in my opinion, burnout and well-being are processes. They are not conquered. They are reset. Let's take an example many of us are familiar with. We exercise to stay fit. There are various exercises and types of exercises we can do each and every day. Each of them has different strategies to strengthen muscles, build up our heart muscle, and our cardiac workout. Fitness and exercises are never-ending processes. The need for them never goes away. We continually build up our muscles exercising, just as we continually build up our muscles by practicing burnout prevention strategies. Myth number two, you can do it on your own. Let's think about a coach for a minute. You wouldn't see a professional athlete without a coach. Whether it's LeBron James, Serena Williams, they all have coaches at the highest level in their sport. Why then do we shy away from a coach when we arrive at the highest level of our careers in healthcare and in medicine? And maybe you're like me, you've probably hired a coach sometime in your life, whether it's for fitness or a hobby like tennis or golf, or maybe even interview preparation, you were coached during this time. So please invest in accountability partners and coaches as you move through the burnout phase. Myth number three, burnout means I'm being lazy at my job. Simply put, lazy people don't get burnout. Why? Because they're not striving to succeed or putting any pressure on themselves. They don't criticize themselves when they don't complete something. So they are happy working their way through life in a state of this passive or chill state. And as a result, they never really feel burnout. It's important to recognize when you're feeling burnt out, you got to this stage because you've been overworking yourself. It's not a failure. It's a consequence of pushing yourself too hard. Find out even more myths of burnout on the Burnout Doctor podcast. Thank you for listening to the monthly Mental Health Minute.
For students, communicating with preceptors or professors or whoever can be intimidating or a little bit challenging sometimes. How do you recommend that students approach this form of communication in order to really get the most out of these relationships while they're in school?
Again, I think, you know, knowing your audience, knowing who you're talking to, it matters tremendously. The words you use, even slight differences in how you speak, convey completely different meanings. If a preceptor, let's start with preceptors are not paid, right? We don't, like those of us that take student, it takes a lot of work to precept a student. We do it because we want to, but it's not a paid thing. There's no financial relationship. That's not coming as a complaint. That's just, you know, to understand that there's outside of their interest in teaching, there's not much, you know, like you're know that that's kind of the place that you're coming from. Like this is someone that likes what they do and likes their job so much and wants to impart that to other people that they're taking their time to do this. But then too, think of they love their job. Most people love their, or at least are very enthused in their specialty, right? They read papers on it to keep up after work hours. They go to conferences. It's an interest. It's like a hobby for them almost. And so the words you use, like, for example, you know, you're a student and you're on your first day with your preceptor and you're going over what you're going to, the syllabus, like what you're going to do over the next few weeks. And it's a simple question of, so do I have to go around with the team or do I get to go around with the team? One word difference, right? But like completely different meaning. And then sometimes if you're not kind of careful or consciously like thinking about how you're communicating and, you know, what you're putting across, that completely changes the perception, the first impression that you might make on that preceptor. And these are people that might recommend you for jobs, right? These can become future colleagues. They can, you know, really have a tremendous impact on your career. So I'm not saying any of this like to schmooze people. That's not what I'm saying at all. Just putting a little bit of conscious thought and working on your skills at communication can have just an untoward effect on your career for things like this. Because again, the words that you pick matter, right? How you convey yourself matters.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that example of do I have to or do I get to? Makes a big difference. And then finally, as things always seem to come back to patients and healthcare. So communicating with patients is a totally different approach. You know, you have to simplify things and really kind of, you're not talking with other healthcare experts. It's a different kind of, a different need, I guess, when you're talking with patients. Can you discuss how this type of communication is different?
So as you said, you know, right there, it's, you can't assume that the patient knows anything about their disease, about this drug. They don't know medical terminology. They may have the, you know, medical literacy of a third grader. And again, that's not an insult to anybody. That's just the reality of how you need to tailor your communication. it still comes back to what does the patient need to know? I mentioned in oncology, and so we're dealing with, you know, very, very toxic drugs that if not taken appropriately could literally kill somebody. So there's certain things that you just have to communicate, not any issues, any problems, let's refill, cool, here's how you get your refills, you know, kind of thing. Like there's a lot of, you know, I might spend 40 minutes counseling somebody, and that's not an exaggeration because I'm literally teaching them everything from, you know, how do they handle their chemotherapy? Do they have to like wear gloves? Do family members wear gloves? You know, things like that. Like there's a lot of information to cover. So how do you do that with someone with potentially no medical literacy? Well, it's like, again, your words matter. I can't say thrombocytopenia to a patient. That means nothing. And if I do, if I come at them, well, it can cause thrombocytopenia and myocardial infarction. And if I come at them with words like that, they just glaze over. They might still be physically present in the room with me, but they got nothing, you know? So I need to say low platelets, and your platelets help your blood to clot. So if your platelets get too low, you may bleed, you know? And so here are some signs of bleeding. You might see that you're bruising. You might, you know, you have to take it that next step. Always take it that next step and tell the patient what they need to know about it. Again, don't stop it. This might lower your platelets. What does that look like for a patient? How would they know that their platelets are lowered? Again, bruising and stuff like that. So you have to kind of really, really dig in and like hold their hand and guide them through it. And then keep with what they need to know. I had one particular instance with a patient who had a atrial fibrillation, had an irregular heartbeat. And so we had to put him on an anticoagulant, and he was dead set opposed to it because, in his words, anticoagulants kill people. They killed my uncle, or, you know, he had someone who had had a bleeding event from an anticoagulant. And so I kind of sat and talked with him, got his perspective on all of that. And really, this was something that was just not done by anyone else on the healthcare team. It was just that, you know, I explained to him what a CHAD score or CHAD's 2 VAS score is, which is a way that we measure your risk of having a stroke if you have AFib, which is what he had. I explained what that kind of score was. You know, this represents the likelihood that you're going to have a stroke in the next 10 years if you don't take this medication. And I showed him where he was at. And it was, you know, it was pretty high. Like he absolutely, and so like just putting in things like, again, simply like, you know, but like it's a different tailored piece to every single patient. You have to meet them with where they're at. He was very resistant. He didn't know why he had to be on it. I explained why he had to be on it based off of that, you know. And then we can talk about how to mitigate some of the side effects like bleeding. Does that kind of make sense? So it's just, you have to always tailor, but it's a two-way thing. It's when you're counseling a patient, you're talking to a patient, you're not orating to them. It's a conversation. It's got to go back and forth. You've got to be picking up on their nonverbal cues and their obviously verbal cues.
Absolutely. That makes perfect sense. In some ways, pharmacists are really perfectly positioned to be this go-between between the healthcare experts, physicians, and others, and the patients. So can you discuss this role for pharmacists and how they're able to communicate in so many different ways with so many different goals?
Yeah, I think what it boils down to is that, you know, like it or not, we are the translators. We're the official translators of healthcare. And I think we're perfectly suited for that role. You know, you can walk into almost any grocery store or a Target or a Walgreens or CVS and go talk to a pharmacist right now, right? Like we're very accessible. You can't just walk into a doctor's office and get a patient room. You know what I mean? Like you can just walk right up to us. So you have direct patient access. We've then got to constantly be in communication with physicians and nurses, you know, not just on the clinical side of things, but also the financial side, because it's usually us that's dealing with prior auth and patients' insurance and things like that. So we're constantly, you know, we're like the hub. We're like the quarterbacking hub where, for again, both the financial and the clinical side, at least on a retail side, on an oral drug. So we're really perfectly suited to be that piece. And so then we just need to adjust our conversation accordingly and rapidly, right? I might be on the phone with a physician explaining some intervention. immediately put that down and have to counsel a patient on their blood pressure medication, then get a call from another nurse who wants to call, you know? So it's like you're constantly jumping into and out of different modes of communication. And it's just a skill that can be developed, but you have to constantly be kind of agile and, you know, always remember who it is that you're talking to, like who is your audience, in order to make sure you're communicating effectively.
Yeah, definitely. Well, as we said at the beginning, these communication skills are not necessarily taught in a classroom or really in like a formal teaching environment. So do you have ways that you can recommend for students who really want to work on them intentionally?
Yeah, there's a few things I think that are kind of, you know, anyone can do. There's like, you know, local things like Toastmaster. It's like an almost everywhere. Someone's got some local chapter of like a group like Toastmaster where you go and you publicly speak. So there's things like that. I'm a huge fan of writing to help clarify my thoughts. I think, you know, since start, that's been an unexpected side benefit of TLDR pharmacy for me, is I'm much more able to effectively communicate via writing, because that's all we do with TLDR. There's blog posts and emails and things like that. And so I've gotten tremendously better just from the act of doing that, which has paid tremendous dividends in my day job. There's not a day in my life that I don't write some email to a group of people to communicate something, you know. It's all communication. I'm in a leadership role in particular, so it matters quite a bit. So writing helps. You know, you can reach out to me if you're interested in writing a post for TLDR Pharmacy. We can, you know, we absolutely take guest submissions. So there's a lot of ways that you can kind of develop that skill. And then there's books, and there's, you know, hundreds of books on the subject. I'm a fan of classics. I don't, you know, it's old, but How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie is, you know, top notch. And I mean, it's been around for a long decades and decades for a reason. We still come back to it because they're almost like universal truths about conversation. You know, it sounds like a Machiavellian title, you know, in retrospect, How to Win Friends. It's really not like that. It's, you know, seek first to understand, then be understood, you know, understand. Like, it's all, a lot of the stuff I've been talking about today are reflections of that book. There's the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. Another good one, maybe less known, is Making Sense of People. It's by Samuel Brandes. You know, all of them are fantastic books, and effectively all that they're really doing is helping you, one, understand other people, have more empathy for other people, and then work on your communication with that. And you will find like benefits in all aspects of your life, not just in the pharmacy realm. You know, even in your personal life, you can communicate with your friends better, with your parents, with your spouse. You know, everything kind of improves when you start to really internalize these sort of mindsets, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that does. Is there anything that you wanted to add? You know, anything that I didn't think to ask about?
No, I just, other than like me talking about it for the last 20 minutes hasn't like beat it over the head enough, but you should start now. You know, start working on your communication in whatever capacity that you can. Now, it is a skill, you know, it's a lot of, I think pharmacy attracts a certain degree of introverted types. And so it's uncomfortable for us to do some of this stuff, to really put ourselves out there. But it's a skill, just like learning therapeutics is a skill. You can learn communication with practice, with study. So just get out there and do it. You know, you can even, like, when you're talking to people, you can see how different words matter. You know, you could say I'm a student versus I'm a pharmacy student if you were describing to someone what you do, and notice the different reactions that you might get, or how the conversation kind of flows a little differently. Simple things like that, and you can have fun with it. Like, treat it like a science experiment almost, you know. Don't be weird about it or anything, obviously, but, you know, have fun with it.
Thanks for listening to Pharmacy Focus Student Edition. Tune in next month to hear more about the latest trends and issues for pharmacy students.